were just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today. At the Christian Research Institute, we do what we do because truth matters. Thank you for joining us on Veterans Day. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
And we get so many wonderful testimonies. They come from all over the place, including prison. Here's a testimony by Quincy, who writes, "It was 1997. I was an inmate in the Texas Department of Corrections, a new Christian and unsure about many things, particularly the Word of Faith movement. I returned to my cubicle to hear Hank's telling the world how unbiblical the movement was, and particularly how untrustworthy Benny Hinn and others of his ilk were. Until that moment, I never heard anyone as definitive about what was and was not of God. Base it on Scripture and invite everyone to see for themselves. From that time to now, I have learned that it is not only all right to say what is and what is not of God, but it is required that others might not be misled by those who would pimp out God. I am still growing in grace and listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast at every opportunity. Stay strong and be blessed." And yes, we do identify spiritual cyanide. When it is communicated publicly, it needs to be refuted publicly, because ideas have consequences, spiritual and physical consequences. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. We'll talk to Stephen next. He's listening on WCRV in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Stephen.
Yes. Hi, Hank. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous. Let me calm down. I used to be a Catholic. The Lord really convicted me over some things about the Catholic Church, and I'm not trying to pick on the Catholic Church, but a lot of them are just deceived. It's about the Blessed Mother. I mean, I've had some heated issues. They believe, you know, this is what a lot of them believe in, certainly, that the Blessed Mother died. It was born without sin. That's how she was able to bear Jesus. She was also, the mother, you know, honored the father and mother. What else? Now I'm just like tongue tied. Oh yeah, that it was that Blessed Mother was actually the Holy Spirit, because she was conceived, so she had to be kind of like God in order to bear Jesus. You know, these are the arguments that I'm sort of facing, as I remember correctly, and it worries me because they're so deceived and everything. Like one of them was arguing about that the Blessed Mother is going to stomp the head of the serpent, and I'm thinking, well, Jesus Christ did that, you know. And when I quote scriptures, they just sort of go back to books or just go back to what they're taught. Do you have, or do you know anything, or have any way can help me out to help?
Yeah, we have some great resources in this regard, Stephen. You can look them up on the World Wide Web at equip.org. But I think the point that's being underscored here is, just as some Roman Catholics, like Protestants, don't read the Word of God and unfortunately end up accepting the traditions of men over the Word of God. And I say some because the fault that you are identifying within Roman Catholicism is a fault that you will find in many Protestant denominations as well. And the fault, again, is that tradition is elevated above the Word of God, as opposed to traditions being tested in light of Scripture, and then we hold fast to that which is good. For example, prayers for the dead. God is to be the only object of our prayers, and it is idolatry to pray to anyone other than God. And when John bowed down to an angel, the angel rebuked him. And we also have to recognize that we don't need a mediator in Mary, because there's only one mediator between God and man. And through Christ, we have, according to Scripture, access to the Father. So no need to pray to Mary. No need to pray to the dead in general. We can honor and esteem Mary. In fact, not only can, but should. But Mary recognized that she was a sinner in need of a Savior, just as all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So Mary needed the salvific work of Jesus Christ just as any other human being does. We can honor her as Theotokos, a God-bearer, but not in the sense of thinking that she's co-redemptrix or co-mediatrix. She is a sinner in need of a Savior.
Yes, that's true, because like I said, the Lord convicted me big time. it just hurts me, because when I see them, some of the people, they're devout, they believe in God, they believe in Jesus Christ, they believe His Son, but then the Blessed Mother comes in, and they said that we need the Blessed Mother to help, because they said that because she's closer to heaven, and I just don't understand that, because Jesus said that, I am the Father, I am one. So that means when you pray to Jesus, and you're actually in the throne room of God when you pray. So that's what confuses me now.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're confused at all. And again, I think this is a great question, because it underscores that we need to test tradition in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. We'll go back to the phone lines, talk to Billy, listening on WTRU in High Point, North Carolina. Hi, Billy.
Hi, I have two questions. One is about Perry Stone. He's on TCT, and the symbolism. I know it's there, but I mean, what do you think the purpose is in all the symbolism? And also, if you've got time, a word about the KJV, and because a lot of people just stick to it, and it seems to be just unnecessary. It's 398 years old, and it's not clear, what's the difference between Jesus wept and Jesus cried?
Yeah, well, I think with respect to the King James Version, I think it's withstood the test of time, but I think you make a good point. The language has changed, and therefore there are words that are connotative as opposed to denotative, and we don't know what they mean anymore. And so the language has changed, and therefore the new translations take that into account. And I think that's very, very significant, very important. I'll give you a couple of examples. I mean, if you look at Old King James English, you have Jesus saying, "Suffer little children to come unto me." Well, most people do not know that an old King James or Elizabethan English, that suffer means let. And so the new translations just change it to let. Or in Acts chapter 28, Paul says, "From thence we fetched a compass." Well, they didn't have compasses back then, and therefore the new translations point out that what compass meant in that particular context meant we proceeded in a circular course, or we circled around. And so the modern translations simply reflect that. And that's true in the New King James Version of the Bible as well. So the King James Version of the Bible, I think, is a wonderful translation of the Bible, but language changes, and therefore to have an accurate translation, we have to make sure that we render words that are obsolete in our thinking or have taken on the barnacles of time in a way that we can understand. And so the new King James translation does a wonderful job with it. As far as Perry Stone is concerned, unfortunately, he is a Word of Faith guy in many ways. He is a guy who believes that divine healing through communion and prayer clause are normative for Christians. He believes in a deliverance model of spiritual warfare. He reads far too much into the scripture, which is to say he's reading into it as opposed to taking out of it what the Holy Spirit has put into it. He peddles newspaper eschatology, and he propagates sensationalistic stories of Bible prophecy being fulfilled in modern Israel. So there are a lot of problems with his ministry. I don't consider him a reliable teacher. I was listening to a clip the other day. In fact, we can play it on the air, which I found hugely problematic with respect to his perspective on the temple.
Why did God want to take the temple which was in heaven and build it on earth? Watch this. Because Satan had at one time been in the third heaven. He was in control of the second heaven. God remained in the holy temple in the third heaven. But man was down here in the first heaven. Adam was down here on earth. And when Adam gave the dominion over to Satan at the fall, God had to have a way of getting back into the earth. So what God did was God said to the Hebrew people, I want you to build me a place to dwell on earth so that I can come out of heaven and come down to earth where Satan is trying to take control and dominion, and I can take the earth back from the enemy and I can redeem mankind.
Anyone like Perry Stone who would suggest that Adam gave the dominion of the earth to Satan at the fall simply does not know anything about the Bible or biblical theology. That is such a gross error, it is hard to minimize. And not only that, the very notion that God had to get his faith-filled words back into the bowels of the earth somehow is nonsense. God has always been sovereign over the affairs of the world. If you don't think that, simply read the biblical account in Daniel of King Nebuchadnezzar. This is an absolute distortion of Scripture, and particularly the notion of the temple. The temple very clearly pointed forward to the teacher, Jesus Christ, and temple sacrifices pointed forward to the ultimate sacrificial lamb. And so the purpose of the temple has nothing to do with what Perry Stone is saying. He has missed one of the most basic messages in all of the Bible fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. The more I listen to him, the more I read what he has written, the more disturbed you become with respect to his selling and sensationalism, his sophistry and his script torture. So he's an unreliable teacher, someone that I would not recommend. And this, of course, is part of the problem we find in postmodern Christianity. Rather than being those who conform the culture to Christ, we are being conformed by the sophistry and sensationalism of the culture. And so people buy high and sell low. What they do in essence is they read their own interpretation into the scripture rather than taking the treasure of the scripture, which the Holy Spirit has placed there, and unpack it for the body of Christ. And Paul warned against false teachers when he said, even from among your own number, men will arise, distort the truth. And this is true in today's church, where we have people selling the gospel, unfortunately selling prostitutions of the gospel. When you get to the temple itself and you prostitute the meaning of the temple, or when you suggest that Adam had the prerogative to give the world over to Satan, you have seriously damaged the foundation of the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. We need to learn to read the Bible for all its worth so that we can test all things in light of Scripture. Hold fast to that which is good. The Christian Research Institute, we're attempting to teach people discernment skills so that they can discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light and dispense with false teachers and false teachings in our midst. If you want more information, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back after the station break with more questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
To make your Christmas journey more memorable this year, Hank has organized this 25-day odyssey around the acronym CHRISTMAS, or Christmas. It is our prayer that when you reach day 25 in your journey to the heart of Christmas, you and your family will have a renewed appreciation for salvation in Emmanuel, God with us. For your gift to the ministry of CRI, order a copy of The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, which includes an instrumental classic guitar Christmas and hymn CD by James Cobb. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff and scored with the same instrumental music. Don't forget to inquire about a personalized edition signed by Hank. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to www.equip.org. Get your Christmas shopping done early this year and make a difference for time and eternity when you get package discounts of 6 or 12 gift books. You can also write to us at CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after this.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. Christmas is the tremendous news that little baby Jesus came as God in flesh. Hank Hanegraaff has penned a hardbound devotional taking the truths of the Christmas story and turning them into traditions in The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Each devotion is beautifully presented and complemented with an appropriate Christmas carol and thought-provoking questions. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is a collection of 25 daily devotions that are certain to inspire an annual Christmas tradition. This year, as you prepare your home for Christmas, prepare your heart as well. order The Heart of Christmas with the accompanying Christmas carols on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas carol CD, or quantity discount options to give as gifts to your loved ones and friends. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines, charts, an extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Right back to our phone callers. We'll talk to Ty next, listening on KELP in El Paso, Texas. Hi, Ty.
Hi, Hank. I'm a first-time caller. I work the late-night shift, so I listen to you on satellite radio on the way to work, and then when I get home, I'm able to catch an hour or so of the Shepherd's Chapel hosted by Pastor Arnold Murray. And I wondered if you were familiar with him and his teachings, and I've found it. I'm pretty sure it's right on the money, but I wanted to get your take on it. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. It is not right on the money in that he denies essential Christian doctrine such as the Trinity. He also claims that Christ and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. He believes that men were gods who existed prior to living on earth. He teaches Anglo-Israelism, which holds that the Anglo-Saxons are the chosen race. Let me see. He teaches a serpent seed doctrine that Eve had sex with a snake and bore Cain as the result. And on it goes. He is a false teacher and therefore should be avoided rather than listened to.
Okay, I'll check, verify what you said.
I like what you just said, by the way. I'll verify what you just said. I like that. Because you should do that. You should test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. Now, you're going to find out that what I say is correct, but why do we hold to the Trinity? Is he right in saying that the Trinity is pagan or incorrect? Or are we right in saying that the Trinity is a biblical notion, not that the word is used, but that the concept is communicated, that there's one God, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are God, and that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. Now, we can apprehend that in Scripture. And so when Arnold Murray denies this essential of the historic Christian faith, you can know he is wrong because what he is saying conflicts with the main and plain teachings of Scripture.
All right. Thank you, Hank.
Hey, you got it, Ty. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Gabriel, listening in Mississippi. Hi, Gabriel.
Yes. Thank you for your ministry. I was wondering, do you have any views on David Wilkerson?
Well, over the years, I've appreciated a lot of his work. What I'm distressed by is his continual prophecy machine. Recently, in fact, this year, he made a prophecy where he said that he was compelled by the Holy Spirit to send an urgent message to his constituency, to his mailing list. And he said that there was going to be an earth-shattering calamity that was about to happen. And he said it was going to be so frightening that we're all going to tremble, even the godliest among us, and that it would include 1,000 fires coming to New York City, and it would engulf the entire megaplex, New Jersey, Connecticut, and the like, major cities all across America would experience riots and blazing fires. And then he goes on and says there'll be riots and fires in cities worldwide, and there'll be looting. Times Square, New York City. And he was saying that this is going to be God's judgment. Well, certainly God's judgment falls on the unrighteous, but also on the righteous alike. And we cannot make these kinds of predictions without knowing that this is really God giving us the information, because if it's not God giving us the information, then we're simply communicating sensationalistic stories that have no basis in reality, or even worse, we're blaspheming God because we're saying that God said something he didn't say and is going to do something he never said he was going to do. Wilkerson, unfortunately, has a bad track record. He predicted in the 80s that the United States of America would be totally annihilated by Russia. He was wrong, and he's been wrong over and over again. And I think he should get over his sensationalism.
Okay, so if he's wrong in one thing, then you shouldn't heed what he says in another thing. Like, you know, does he teach basic Christianity? But if he prophesies something that doesn't come true, should I not, you know, listen to him again about basic Christianity?
Well, I think you should use discernment skills. As I said, I think he's done some wonderful work over the years, but he's tarnishing that work with these false prophecies. And I'm reminded of the words of Jesus Christ regarding those who perished when the Tower of Siloam crashed down upon them. Remember Jesus who said, "Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will likewise perish." I mean, if you want to give a prophecy, here's the prophecy. Blessings for those who follow and cursings for those who rebel. That's the overarching principle of Scripture.
Okay.
But we cannot make these categorical statements about what's going to happen and then say it's going to happen soon. I don't know exactly when, but it's going to be soon. When it's sensationalism. This is not the Holy Spirit speaking to David Wilkerson. If the Holy Spirit were really speaking to him, he wouldn't have been wrong so many times in his history of making these prophetic pronouncements. And I think it's a terrifying thing to me when I read, and this is his words, not my, "I am compelled by the Holy Spirit to send out an urgent message." If the Holy Spirit did not give him this message, and I can assure you he did not, then you're attributing something to God that God did not do. And that's blasphemy. And I think that we ought to have a righteous fear or reverence for God. When God appeared to the holiest man in Israel, he came apart at the seams. I think we're all too cavalier saying the Holy Spirit or Jesus or the Father told me something the other day. I think we ought to be much more circumspect. And the biblical injunction is very clear. You test the prophet in light of Scripture. If the prophet makes a prophecy and the prophecy does not come to pass, don't heed him. And I think we can say that over the years, you have all kinds of prophecies by David Wilkerson, such as America is going to be destroyed by fire. A hydrogen holocaust will engulf America, he said.
I have that book. I mean, that was the one that you're quoting from.
And you're talking about Set the Trumpet to Thy Mouth?
Set the Trumpet to Thy Mouth. Yes, sir. Well, actually, you actually answered another part of my question, and I thank you for your answer.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
My, thank you for your call. I take no pleasure in saying that. I just have a holy regard for God, A, and B, am tired of the sensationalists in our midst that are constantly making their prophecies. Benny Hinn has been doing it. He has told us when Castro was going to die. He was going to predict with certainty what's going to happen to homosexuals. And so he decided to do it on national television, and he said all the homosexuals are going to be burned by fire. And his audience applauded with glee. These kinds of sensationalistic prophecies end up dragging Christ's name through the mud. They're helping us in reverse. I think it's time that we got rid of the sensationalism and sophistry. How bad did it get? Think of Y2K in the year 2000, in which you had these same people talking about Y2K, and it was going to be the catalyst that Antichrist would use to set up a one-world government and a one-world currency. And through sophistry and sensationalism, they sold freeze-dried food and generators and books. And they had a financial bonanza at the expense of all kinds of people. And before the year 2000, I wrote a book about this. And I said, don't worry about Y2K. It's not even going to be a top 10 story in the year 2000. And so these broadcasters predicted that I was going to have the blood of millions on my hands because I was causing complacency within the body of Christ. But what we did at the Christian Research Institute is we did our homework. We looked at the predictions. We looked at the sophistry. We checked it out. We did some primary research and found out that it was a house of cards. And so we told the people. We got slapped for it. It wasn't politically correct. It wasn't popular. Everybody had to jump on the sensationalistic bandwagon. But look, why follow the culture? Why not be change agents in the culture? That's what we're called to be. We have to learn discernment skills. If we don't, we're going to be trembling for the wrong reasons. And we're going to have our eyes on the wrong ball. What we should be focused on is very, very clear. Rescue the perishing. Why make a prediction of what's going to happen in New York City? Why not evangelize? You want to save someone from fire? Think about an eternity separated from the love and grace and goodness of God. When David Wilkerson is on point on message, does a great job in that regard. But don't tarnish the message with sensationalism that ends up discrediting the very message you love. The message of redemption through faith in Jesus Christ, who can save you not only in this life, but in the life to come. The worst thing that can happen is not to die young. The worst thing that can happen is to spend an eternity separated from the love and grace of God. It is my prayer that the images of blazing fire that did happen, the billowing smoke that emanated from New York and Washington on September 11, 2001, will arouse us from our lethargy and renew our passion to rescue the perishing from an inferno that will never be quenched. Coming to the station break, we'll be back with more of your questions in just a moment.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12.
Celebrate the birth of Christ like never before when you order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff, which also includes a solo classical guitar Christmas collection, by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after this.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff, with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Our cover story examines the teachings of self-help superstar Anthony Robbins. Does he promote personal power or harmful hedonism? Lee Strobel equips you to share your faith in natural settings in our effective evangelism column. And don't miss our feature article on the moral views of scientist and ardent atheist Richard Dawkins as the journal examines the question, can morality be based in our selfish evolutionary past? Also, don't miss a review of the influential internet movie Zeitgeist, our practical hermeneutics department, viewpoint articles, or our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Institute, our website, www.equip.org, and the Christian Research Journal give you a front row seat to the intellectual confrontations and counterfeit philosophies that oppose the church and the truth of God's Word today, and equip you with well-reasoned, respectful answers that the Bible commands us to give. We are encouraged to know that by God's grace, your participation with our ministry has made a difference.
Hey Hank, this is Steve. I just want to say what a wonderful job y'all are doing and what a great blessing y'all are to listen to you and your guests. Just have gained so much insight from this ministry. And you have a wonderful website, and God bless you and your wonderful staff there at CRI. Thanks a lot.
To be a co-laborer with us in the battle, please pray regularly for these ministries, and please consider giving a special gift to support these outreaches. To donate, call CRI today at 888-7000-274 or go online to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
And right back to our phone call as we go next to Reggie in Missouri. Hi, Reggie.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Great. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And I just want to first thank you for being with me. I served 8 years in a federal penitentiary, and I listened to your teachings and following what you were saying and going behind and going over and over it, man. You really helped me, man, a whole lot, because I was dealing with a lot of those prophets that which you're talking about now coming in and just spewing all these messages, man. And I just want to thank you for that. And my question is this.
Hey, before you get to your question, I want to thank you for your encouragement. It means the world to me. You made my day.
Thank you so much, Hank, man. And I do support your ministry the best that I can. You know, it's kind of hard for an ex-offender, but I buy all your books, Christianity in Crisis, the Bible Answer books. And I still, you know, people from the prison still write me and ask me questions that can't receive your material. But they asked me, and I just kind of put it in a letter form and sent it back, man, because there's those that are really itching and that really want to hear the truth, man. And they have actually, God has just used me to be that person to do it. And I always go to your material, man, to really help me out. And I just thank you so much for that, man.
You get it, my friend.
And here is the situation. It's just so ironic listening to your few calls you was talking about the prophesying. Well, actually, we had a guy come in our church from Jacksonville, Florida, and, man, it was just heretical. It was terrible, the things that he was saying and the predictions that he was predicting death in 30 days on people for not coming up and giving money. And he was telling people to go get a mailbox, P.O. box, and they got $200,000. And it was just awful, man. And now I'm the bishop's armor bearer, man, and I want to really go to him in spirit and truth and just talk to him and tell him that he needs to really correct what was brought into the church. And I need your help on this. How should I approach him? Because he's already said that, yeah, I know I'm getting ready to get a slew of people, but I don't think he knows it's coming from me.
Well, you know, I would say, first of all, Reggie, and I know you'll do this, you have to do it with gentleness and with respect. But, I mean, here you have a situation where a pastor allows the wolf into the sheep pen. Can you imagine anything more horrendous than that? Where someone is so obviously manipulative, where he is saying to people under the rubric of the Bible, under the auspices of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that if they don't give a certain amount by a certain time, they're going to be dead in 30 days? I mean, this is just horrendous. And you should confront that pastor, because he's allowing his people to be manipulated by a false shepherd.
Yeah, it was just, and it's really been on my conscience. And, you know, I have a lot of respect with a lot of the church members, because of, you know, they know that when I do get a chance to preach, that, you know, I'm straight to the point. I don't, you know, hope and holler and everything. And I try to just teach what I've been, you know, taught, listening to Chuck Swindoll and Charles Stanley. And that's all I had time to do. And when that came in, and I was like, oh, I cannot believe that this is actually happening. And, you know, and the people were just coming up, and they were just giving hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And he was laying their hands in, and he said, you know, and he made a statement like, you know, every now and then people need to be slain in the spirit. And I nearly passed out, Hank. And I, you know, but I just trying to stay professional as possible, and, you know, in the pulpit, and not just saying, yo, dude, all right, enough is enough. All right, you really need to cut it out, because, I mean, he was just at it, and people was just really eating this up, because this has never really been brought to our church. And for that to see that, you know, it really kind of got to me. And I've talked to a couple of members, because they was like, okay, Reggie, we seen the way you were acting. Okay, well, why didn't it seem like that you were in it? You know, he started off real good, talking about people shouldn't preach about health and wealth and all of that. It should be about, you know, he brought the message good. But when he started with the prophet lion, and that's what I call it, it just turned me completely off. And I was just like shaking my head like, I am not that. What should I do? So I said, you know what, I'm going to call Hank. And, you know, of course I pray to God and everything, but You know, I just wanted to just say it, man. It's crazy. It is just really crazy. And I just wanted to know What should I do?
Yeah. Well, and the slain in the spirit that you mentioned as well, nowhere do you find that in the ministry of Jesus Christ. You do find it, however, in the world of the occult. And in Scripture, we're taught to be alert and sober-minded because the devil prowls around seeking who he will devour. And therefore, when someone brings these kinds of teachings into the church, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, there are a lot of sheep, and that's what you're concerned about. You're concerned, I hear it in your voice, you're concerned about the people who are deluded by these false teachings, and rightfully so, and I think that you should give the pastor a chance to reconcile these people away from false doctrines and reconcile them back to the truth. And if the pastor is willing to do that, it would be a wonderful thing for the people, because what happens is so many of these people, as you know, Reggie, they get disillusioned. They don't know what to believe or who to trust anymore, and they end up falling out the back door of the church metaphorically into the kingdom of the cults.
You're so right. You're so right. And I, you know, I see it. And I just ask for your prayers to strengthen me more, to get me more focused, and because I know what it is that God has for me to do. I've been asked to take over the youth pastor position, and so I'm going in there, and I'm just going to be straight up, and I'm going to be forward, and I'm going to tell them exactly what it is. You know, it ain't about health and wealth; it's about dying in Christ, and so. I really do thank you for all that you've done, and I really wish that I could give more. I do pray for your ministry, but you helped me so much. Keep doing.
Well, I'm applauding you, Reggie. I'm applauding you for your passion. I'm applauding you that you care. And when you get the opportunity to teach these kids, teach them essential Christian doctrine, because if they become familiar with the truth, they're not going to be deceived by a counterfeit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Hank. And I just want you to know that because of you, man, because I was listening to Crevalo and all them guys at first, man, but somebody turned me on to your radio station when I was in Memphis on Bot Radio, and I've been on it ever since. And I tell other people, I say, you need to listen to Hank. You need to, you know, and I get that, well, these are white guys. Well, it ain't about that. It's about the blood of Christ. And if you just follow and just bag up everything that you say, I go back and I listen, and I say, okay, well, you know, and so far, me and you are, we one-on-one. And you haven't said anything that I was like, that don't sound right. But I just want to say thank you so much for all you do, Hank.
Hey, thanks, Reggie. We want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Angel, listening in Chicago, Illinois, on XM Radio. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How you doing? God bless you. Just wanted to say you're a blessing. And just from hearing what's going on with the church nowadays, I'm glad that you're outspoken and you're just saying what is true. I have a question that's a two-part question. Acts chapter 19. Now, that's regarding when Paul visits several disciples and they're baptized through the baptism of John, but they're clueless of what the Holy Spirit is. And when Paul lays hands on them, these disciples or believers, you know, they prophesy and they speak in tongues. Now, what I'm concerned is there's obviously several denominations in the body of Christ that affirm the gifts of speaking in tongues and so forth. And then you have several other denominations that say, well, that's not for the present church, but that's for the past church. My question is, how can we determine whether those gifts are truly for now or were they just for the past?
Yeah, good question. First of all, just a quick clarification about Acts chapter 18 and 19. You know, as disciples, they knew about the Holy Spirit, but they had not heard of the giving of the Holy Spirit through the Messiah as promised by John.
Correct.
John's baptism was a baptism of expectation rather than one of fulfillment, as Christian baptism is today. Once Christ had risen from the dead and was exalted at the right hand of God, and once he had sent the gift of the Holy Spirit, John's baptism of expectation was inappropriate and inadequate, and that's what's going on there. But now, there are differences within the body of Christ as to whether tongues are for today or whether tongues ceased with the closing of the canon of Scripture or the end of the apostolic age. And I would say that you can say with certainty on the basis of Scripture that tongues are not normative. So we can't say that tongues cannot be affected by God for his own sovereign purposes in unique situations, as the book of Acts describes a very unique situation at Pentecost. I mean, you have the unraveling of what happened, in essence, at the Tower of Babel. There you had a supernatural experience that took place. In Pentecost, you have another supernatural experience that takes place. Instead of the confusion of tongues, you have the inverse taking place at Pentecost, so that the gospel might go out and so that the people gathered in Jerusalem could hear the gospel and hear the marvelous things that God was doing in their own tongues, in their own languages. So again, tongues, I would say, are not normative today, but to suggest that tongues are not for today in any sense puts God in a box I wouldn't be comfortable putting him in.
Correct. No, I agree. I just wanted to really get your outtake on that, because I see that, you know, the several denominations, again, they go back and forth, and they'll, you know, they'll basically kind of get into an argument whether that's biblical or not. But I think those are details. I think that's I'm not saying that's the least of it, but I think we should get the gospel first correctly. And I think, you know, but I just really wanted to, you know, get your outtake on that.
Well, you got it, and I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. What I like about what you just said is that let's focus on the main and the plain things. The other things we can debate vigorously, we don't have to divide over. Appreciate your call.
Thank you, Hank. I appreciate it. God bless.
God bless you. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Resources, as always, available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Then when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all of the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus new answers to some of today's toughest questions. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity, for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy and help support CRI at this critical time when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity: emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life.
Order The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ, and The Case for a Creator DVDs in the Lee Strobel 3-disc collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. That's equip.org.